like to welcome everyone here tonight. Hook it up here. Tonight, I want to talk about a topic that we know we've heard lesson after lesson about, and that's faith. And what a perfect person to talk about when we look at faith than Abraham. Most of my lesson will be coming from chapter 11 of Hebrews, and as usual, I try to include a lot of scripture in my sermons. And we find that in Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, where it talks about Abraham. And it says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." And we can look at these scriptures and we notice that not once did Abraham question God. He did what God asked him to do. As it says in the first couple of words of that, verse 8, by faith, he went and did what God asked him to do. And we know that his faith was so strong, he was willing to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, because God told him to. Let's look at Genesis 22, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham.' And he said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac." And we know what happened after that. I'll be paraphrasing some here. But they went to Moriah, to the mountain that God had chosen for Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And they climbed the mountain. Only Abraham and Isaac climbed the mountain. And as they were going up, Isaac asked, "Father, I see the fire, I see the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And of course, Abraham replies, he said, "God will provide." So they continued going up that mountain. And they finally got to the place that God had chosen where the sacrifice would occur. Abraham constructed the altar, laid the wood out, then he bound his son, tied him up, and laid him on the altar. And with knife in hand, he raised his hand, and he was ready to go ahead and kill his only son. But then an angel of the Lord cried out, "Abraham, Abraham, don't harm the boy. I can see that you fear God, that you were willing to kill your only son, to sacrifice him." And then Abraham heard a noise in the thicket, turned around, and there was a ram that he used as a sacrifice. But again, can you imagine being put in that same spot as a father and willing to follow through with what God asked you to do? Abraham was willing to do that. Now I want to look briefly at how the world looks at faith. And I was able to Google some quotes about how the world looks at faith. One says, faith means believing when you know it can't be true. Faith begins where reason ends. A third one, faith is believing in something when common sense tells you not to. And then, of course, number four, take a leap of faith. You know, unfortunately in the world, many people try to imply that these are what the Bible are talking about when it talks about faith. And we know that can't be true. Because if that were true, then we would have a hard time telling anyone about the Bible and for people to believe that it's true. So the faith of the world, in most cases, does not rely on evidence. And we'll find later on that evidence is very important as far as the biblical definition of faith. So let's look at Hebrews 11:1, where we find that biblical definition of faith. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's coming from the New King James. If we look at the ESV, which I use fairly often, ESV version says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So if we look at these verses, I want to break this definition down into two parts. First, talk about now faith is the substance or assurance of things hoped for. We look at the definition of assurance. It means confident. It's something that gives us confidence. So in the reality of things, whether it be reality of something or someone, that's what it's telling us. So, for example, Hebrews 1, verse 3 says, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Of course, here, talking about Jesus. And we know as a Christian, faith should be and is our foundation. It's what it's built on. So without seeing God, without seeing Jesus, without seeing the Holy Spirit, without seeing angels, without seeing heaven, we know that they exist. We have faith that they exist. And of course, our hope is the salvation that Christ gave us when he died on the cross for us, that he was buried and resurrected. Romans 8, 23 through 25 says, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So what this scripture is telling us, we wait for heaven with patience. We've not seen it, but we know it's there from what the scriptures tell us. It is the faith that is a promise of God, that heaven waits for us and should give us the confidence to remain faithful to God. Now let's look at the second part of this definition, the biblical definition of faith, the evidence or conviction of things not seen. Of course, here pretty much spells it out. It's evidence. We have evidence. We have proof that these things exist. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, verses 4 through 8. Here Paul telling us, "For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know while we are at home in this body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." So Paul is telling us, this tent, this body that we live in, sometimes it might be a long life that we'll live or a short life. But the important thing is that we know where we'd rather be, or hopefully we know where we'd rather be. I think if I had a choice of heaven or this earth right now, I would much prefer heaven for eternity. So our confidence that we have allows us to act on what we do not see. For example, I'm sure that probably most people in here at one time or another got a summons to do jury duty. Now, some of you may have even been picked as one of the jurors during the trial. And after listening to the evidence, eventually you had to draw a conclusion. Was that person guilty or not? You didn't see it. Didn't see the crime being committed. But you went by the evidence. And again, that's what faith is based on, the evidence that we have in God and Jesus in heaven for eternity. So faith is based on evidence. Now going back to Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that were visible." So we have faith that the universe was created by God, by the word of God. We have faith that was made out of things that were not visible. So in other words, when you hear these, and here I am a science major, you know, you've heard of the Big Bang Theory, right? Where all the mass matter was, when the universe formed, was in one big mass, and then an explosion occurred and it spread all over the place. Well, according to this scripture, to me, that means that didn't happen that way. Because it says here that we understand the universe is created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that were visible. In other words, God made it from scratch. Do we blindly believe that Jesus is the Son of God? We have the evidence that he is the Son of God. John 5, 31 through 47, I'm not reading all of that. You can read it for yourselves. But in those 17 verses, we find the testimony of Jesus, of John, of God, and of course the scriptures themselves that do prove to us that Jesus is the Son of God. And you know, at one point in time, Jesus was talking to an audience, trying to convince them to believe in him as the Son of God. But some were having problems. We find this in John 10, verses 36 through 38. And here Jesus talking says, "Do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, they did not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe in the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. We know that faith comes from hearing. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So of course the faith that we have also comes from the Gospels. And without a doubt, a strong faith definitely affects our lives. We act according to what we believe. And hopefully, all of us here believe that Jesus is the Son of God, our only Savior. He gives us hope. Now, just to wrap this up, I've got a couple of other people I want to talk about in Hebrews 11, verse 4 first. I want to talk a little bit about Abel. Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So we know the story. Abel offered the better sacrifice that was accepted by God. God was pleased with his offering. He was not pleased with Cain. And Cain, out of jealousy, and that his sacrifice wasn't accepted by God, he killed his brother. And then the next verse, verse 5, tells us about Enoch and his faith. It says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And the only way we're going to please God is through our faith, the faith that we have for him. Is faith important to us as a Christian? Well, again, we go to the next verse, Hebrews 6. And it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So if we don't have faith, heaven is not going to be our home. And it's something that we need to work on each and every day. We need to do God's will. We need to do what he tells us to do, not just pick and choose. And as we do those things, we do what God tells us, then our faith will grow stronger and we'll draw closer to God. So in closing, do you believe that God is one day going to judge this world? Do you believe that God says what he means? Do you believe that you must live in obedience to his word? And hopefully all the answers are yes. God expects us to be obedient. But one thing we do have to remember, too, is the fact that faith alone is not going to get us to heaven. We have to do God's will. We have to do the works. Because if we don't, we won't get to heaven. So at this time, we offer the invitation to those that haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior and want to do so in baptism. or for those Christians or anyone that needs to come forward for prayers, please do so as we stand and sing the song of invitation.